is on. It's me. It is us. Finally, our second two episodes in a row. In this many months. Wow.
Finally, Big Tandy has come back.
Hi folks, welcome to yet another episode of the exciting podcast, Electric Eye.
Oh, we're exciting.
Yeah, why not?
Sure.
Oh, we're exciting.
No one's actually...
Can we be extreme?
Yeah, we can be
extreme. We're extreme!
No one's actually doubting us, but...
Remember in the 90s when everything was extreme?
Yeah, everything.
Extreme!
But they even had extreme Doritos.
They still do, I think.
Well, Jesus.
For the most part, I am one of the co-hosts here. I am the Reverend Jim Esquire. Across from me is...
The extreme!
Yeah, the extreme Greek hammer. First off, I'd like to tell you that in the upcoming months, probably the next few weeks... there'll be some changes. Hopefully, we'll be able to go past the infamous half-hour mark. Not to mention, we managed to get a professional. I'd like to give her kudos for helping us out. That's a Miss Kim McKay.
Do tell.
She did some, little bit of adverts for us, some little... key things which we'll probably be incorporating to our show very shortly.
You know those ads that you hear for radio shows and stuff like that? Well, she's an actual person that does that, and we got her services. So
yes.
Exciting to us, probably not so exciting to you, but either way.
For us, it benefits. Another little bit of the good news is, you guys remember this?
That is the...
The executive stress eliminator. You want to know something? We're tossing it out. For the most part, we've kind of upgraded.
Kind of. We upgraded to OS 9. Oh, Lord.
With OS 9, some Windows computers, is able to easily plow. Yeah, plow. Plow. Take a drink, guys, if you're playing along. On that's why you have to listen to the past episodes if you're just tuning in. It's able to display movie clips, little sound bites, and so forth and so on. We got a bunch, we'll be getting more. And it's easily played, so forth and so on. Let's see here.
He's trying to finagle. Is it easily played?
I have to choose one. We got over 2,000 of them.
Human error. ID10T. Human error.
Look who knows so much, huh?
So.
Stuff like that. And everybody's going to be oh, you guys think you're funny. You think you're a radio program now.
Well, we do. And if you still have complaints, please write in at please write in at EECF25428 at comcast.net. Listen, folks, we know you're at least downloading. We don't know how much of the program you're listening to. We want you to email us, show ideas.
Even if you think we're a fucking bunch of chuckleheads.
Yes.
Just email us.
See, that's the thing. A lot of this will be our 25th.
Yeah.
Podcast. We've gone through 25 episodes. There's at least 24 prior to this.
25th anniversary special. Yeah.
And no one, not one of you lunkheads, for the exception of Mark, has told us we're wrong, we're idiots, we're morons, we're lunkheads, or asked us additional questions about certain things.
Nothing. So we think that we're fucking intelligent. We think that we're the fucking genius. You have no questions asked.
We think we're smarter than the Mythbusters.
We have given you all that we can give you, and you take it, you eat it with a spoon, and you go to work every day, and you go on the knowledge that we are the two smartest people in the whole wide world. because you never ask us any questions and you never doubt us. We are like gods. Podcasting gods. We are pod gods.
Since none of you have responded, we want you to respond. That's shocking to us that other podcasters have people that at least write in. True. You guys don't. You're a bunch of slackers.
They don't like us.
This is also a good segue. I've seen punk fans do more than you guys.
Oh.
And speaking of punk fans and the whole punk genre,
oy, oy.
That's our main topic tonight, is the whole punk scene, punk industry, and punk music.
Punk music.
Since the person in front of me, Mr. Big Candy, the Greek Hammer himself, is a little bit more of an expert to when it started, he's the person that got me interested into punk music.
Right.
I guess when did it start? Back in when? Like the...
They say 77.
Roughly 77. They.
The great and mighty they. And it also died in 77. So...
That's one thing. I hear it died in the... Like I've been reading the punk book. It's like, it died in the 80s. Died in the... Like 5 pages later it says it died in the 90s.
Yeah, it's one of those things...
Or it's dying.
The entire scene is contradictory. It's only relevant to the people who are in it at the time. And there's nobody, save for a very few, like a handful of people and some bands, that stick with it. For the most part, it's a drive-by scene. Now, I'm going to get shit for saying that, okay? And, you know, I can understand why. But, like, for the most part...
If we get shit, it'll be the first thing we ever get ever in this
podcast.
Well,
that's true. Hopefully I get shit for it. Anyway, as people listen to it, they get into it, they rock out, you know, they have a really good time, and then they leave. And that's been the way of it since I've been into it. That's been, like, you know, I still listen, but, like, I don't participate anymore, hardly at all. Well, one reason is there's never anything going on around here, and I'm not driving to shows anymore like I did. I'm not getting in a trunk of a car to go see NoFX anymore. You know, I'm not running around like, you know, DC at night. I'm frankly, and this is the worst part about it, this is, I guess, when punk is dead to you, I'm too old for it. You know what I mean? Like, I go in there with a bunch of kids, and it's like, hi, I'm 30. Oh, shit. Like, okay, the last time I went to go see NoFX, I'm up on the balcony, standing by, like, the steps to, like, the third level, which is the VIP level. Just standing there enjoying the show. I'm singing the songs. Kids keep coming up to me asking if they can go upstairs. They thought I worked there.
Wow.
I should have started taking money. Anyway.
Yeah, you can go up there $10.
So, yeah, $10. Go ahead. But, no, seriously. It's a drive-by scene. You come and you go. I mean, you can start and you can finish at any age. Your duration...
Is up to you.
Is up to you. There's no set time. There's no set limit. As far as I'm concerned, ages are whatever. There's always been an all-ages thing with the punk scene. Like, you know, you come into it at some point.
You could stick with it for years. You can stick with it.
You know, you can come in late. You can come in when you're 40. Usually people don't really care. It just, it's one of those things where at some point you just don't like being so, you can't jump in the pit. Okay, if you're 40, go take pictures, put on a show. Your role changes in the punk scene as you get older. You're encouraged, more or less, to hand it over to other people. To say, hey, I acquired all this knowledge, here you go. And it's usually younger people you want to get into it.
That's one of the funniest things. You kind of got me mostly into it last year. And it was, and let me put it like this. Last year,
popped your cherry right and well. Dear God.
I mean, it was an experience. Like, when you tell someone, like, to use the example, when you tell somebody, oh, I go to Comic Cons, I go to horror, you know, shows, you show them the videos that might be on YouTube, and or if there's like a TV and newscast, and they say, oh, this show's in the area, this festival's in the area. You look at it and like, oh yeah, it doesn't look so bad. Then when you go, it's like, oh my God.
And
it's like, yeah, I mean, it's like totally night and day. It's like you're prepared for it.
Right.
And it's like when I first went to my only Star Trek convention, I seen all the shows, I seen all the, you know, videos, thought I was prepared, but once you step in, you're like, I feel too normal.
When you immerse yourself, you stick out like a sore thumb. You think you're ready. You think, I'm badass. And then you walk in. I'm not so badass.
There's people actually 5 times worse than I am.
Yeah.
And that's the low end of the group.
Yeah.
When I first saw the mosh pit at...
Murphy's Law?
Yeah. I was like, my God, it looks like a nuclear, explosion. It's like, one atom, running into another and setting off 5 more, setting off 5 more. I was like,
wow. Pretty soon the whole room is running in a circle, drinking booze and
beating each other up. Yeah. And it's the oddest, the mosh pit's the oddest experience. It's like...
But is it not the most liberating?
It's liberating. It's like you feel so much... You could go in there like, I'm so aggravated, I'm so pissed off, I could hit somebody. And you have at least 5 people like... That kind of sense is like, me too, hit me, hit me, hit me. And you're like, really? You want me to hit you?
See, and that's the perfect end to the perfect day. See, my whole thing with this is...
And they're like, thank you.
Yeah, it should be encouraged. It should be encouraged as people get older to go to these fucking things. I'm so stressed out at my job. I hate my job. I literally cannot stand going to work anymore. And... I wish there was more punk shows that I would enjoy going to, because I would love to go, jump in, go crazy, let it loose.
I had one woman tell me, it's like, it's okay to shove me. I'm like, I come from a school that it's not right to shove or hit a woman.
But she'll shove you.
And she'll like shove me. It's like, it's okay. You could shove me right back. You could lift me up. It's okay.
But just don't hit her.
There's a little bit of a gray area, but
yeah. Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. It's like a punk show centers around the ideals of basically anarchy. There is no leaders. There's no gods. There's no anybody barring you back from doing what you want to do.
It's a bunch of people having fun, enjoying some.
And here's the funny thing. Everything within reason. If somebody falls down, you pick them up. If, somebody gets hurt, you help them out. If, the lead singer drops his microphone, give it to him. It's one of those things where it's like, everybody's in there together having a good time, but at the same time, beating the crap out of each other. If it makes any sense. So, you want to get back into, the origins of it. Well, yeah, punk.
It kind of, I think it... According to the book that I have, it's kind of started in England, London area, and kind of moved.
Well, there's debate. It either started in New York, it started in Detroit, or it started in England. One of the three. In or around the same time. Some people argue that some of the earlier punk bands were bands like the MC5 out of Detroit, just because of how they were. Some people even argue that bands like The Who were a punk band. That's all up to great debate. The couple of the most notable bands that ever came out back in the day. There was a handful of garage bands that came out, lesser known bands and stuff like that. I want to say the Farts, but no, that was in the 80s. There was another band that did they had punk material. You sprung it on me, so I can't really think of it right offhand. But
if just email us, folks. Yeah,
they had punk material, songs about crapping and farting and burping and all that kind of stuff. But they weren't outright punk. Well, the term punk, coined punks, comes from that comes directly from England. That was in response to. The clothes that they wore. One of the guys that was involved with the Sex Pistols, their manager, I believe, owned a sex shop.
It was called, from the book, it was called Sex.
Yeah. And a lot of bondage equipment and stuff like that, which a lot of people misconstrue. They could say, you were a punk. You were a prison bitch. You were a faggot. In other words, punk is derived from pretty much faggot. you're a nothing. That kind of thing. You're a waste. And that's how those kids felt. They had no future. They were living in a time of the Cold War. They were living in a time of unrest in, like, especially in England. I mean, there, you know, the whole social system was in.
That was another thing I picked up from the book. It's like in, like, the London, England area, it, the whole punk scene was all political based.
Oh, very political based.
And yet here it was more cultural. Yeah. Like, we're distancing ourselves from the. We don't like what's on the radio.
We don't like what's on the TV. We're going to be different. We don't want to, like, swallow the bullshit that our parents are feeding us. Over there, it was like, we hate society. We hate, you know, the police. So, and then the cultures clashed, you know, and, like, their punk became our punk. And, like, you know, back and forth and back and forth. Till now, you got a real, just this amalgamation of, like, all both, these different, yeah. like, so you got, like, anarcho-punks, chaos punks, like, peace punks. You, I mean, you got hardcore, which is a different tangent altogether.
Let us first let us say if you think a band like Metallica or AC/DC, they're not punk, they're heavy metal. Mm. Punk bands tend to be fast. I mean, listen to any one of our most of our ending songs. The guitar is like
two keywords: fast and shitty. Like, any band that can carry a melody is usually, in my mind, is not pure punk. Pure punk is just shitty, raw, Iggy and the Stooges.
What about early Green Day?
Early Green Day is melodic. It's called pop punk. It could be played on the radio, and eventually it was. Offspring, same story. You know, stuff like that. Now, you can also get into, like, Epitaph Records, Fat Records. Fast, yet melodic punk, which is more acceptable to the fans for some reason. I personally, you know, this NoFX is like one of my favorite bands that I can't listen to on Thursday. But anyway, that's a different story. those bands are more palatable, more accepted. But then again, like you go back to like Metallica and AC/DC. Well, AC/DC, they started in kind of like the metal scene in England. Metallica started in a small but tight-knit metal/punk scene in San Francisco. When they came out, they were playing Misfits covers and stuff like that. On a couple of their records, they're famous for covering Misfits songs. So, along with other metal acts from England and stuff like that, they were really big into all of them. But, everybody, a lot of metal has its roots in punk, especially modern metal has its roots in punk. The growling and the speed and stuff like that. You can say it all comes from this.
But it seems to be a heck of a lot slower than, you know.
It'll commonly be played slower than. The key to actual punk music is, like I said, raw, like,
power,
lots of energy, just lots of, like, you know, simple chords. Like, these guys, a lot of these guys, like, when they started out, like, all the guys in the Sex Pistols, they couldn't play. Sid Vicious was never plugged into a bass amp. They just let him get up there. There was another guy that played bass, and he just stood there. He just looked good. He never did anything. That or they played the record while they played. Those guys were not good. Nobody could play. It was real simple. Like, anybody could play stuff. The Ramones, Three Chord Wonders, you know, they were just like in and out of a song. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Next song. You know, and that's the key to it. Like, we're not doing 5-minute long songs talking about love. We're doing 5-minute songs talking about brain damage. You know?
Or beating somebody senseless.
Yeah, I mean, either way. Yeah, yeah. Usually it's something along those lines.
What I like, this would probably be a topic for another night in reference to the whole rights, copyright deal, is that a lot of punk bands, I've asked at least one band themselves, we've used them before. It's like, oh, you mind if we use your music as an ender for our podcast? They're like, oh yeah, dude, go on, go, yeah. use.
For the most
you want
part,
albums, you know. You want
for the most part, any punk band I've ever been involved in or seen or like heard of, like, it's hard to find people that really go, no, we have rights, we have copyright, don't use our stuff. If you use our stuff, we'll sue you. It's like, yeah, everybody deserves credit for, like, you know, what they do. That's what they do, and that's, like, you know, God bless them for it. But, like,
punk bands, they love to promote, like the more people that listen to them, the more that might come to their show.
Exactly. And, like, take a band like the Cancer Bats, who they're a little bit more metal than anything, but they have really good punk ethics with their band. Cancer Bats, like, they have a national recording contract. They encourage people to steal their music. Like, go download it. Or better yet, if you show up to our show, I'll tell you this. If you show up to our show, we'll take whatever's in your pocket, what you have for a CD. If you have like $5 and it's a $10 CD, they'll take it. But you got to promise them to burn 10 copies and give them to all your friends. You know, that's cool to me. That's like, we just want you to hear our music. And at the heart of punk, pretty much, like, some people might say this is, like, a more modern conception of punk, because early punk was all about self-indulgence, and, like, we just want to, like, you know, if you give us lots of money, you can go fuck yourself, which, I mean, that implies the punk spirit, too. But, like, basically, I think most punk bands just want to be heard. They just want to play in front of an audience. They just want to be heard.
They themselves are their own set of geek.
Hardcore, you know? Kids just want to sell their t-shirts and collect fucking records on blue vinyl. There's nothing wrong with that. And wear Nike shoes and steal expensive pants. But anyway, I've been around for a while and seen a lot of things. Commonly, like, they tour in vans as opposed to tour buses.
I'm sure if they could find a nice bus that works for $500,
Yeah, but you're not going to find that. Plus, the gas would kill you. It's like, I've been across the country in vans. I've been across the country in, like, trunks, cars, you name it. And it's all uncomfortable. And eventually, you want to kill everybody in the van. But still, it's a lot of fun. Once you get it down packed, it can be a whole lot of fun. But, you know, That's another aesthetic to punk. It's like that adventure of, like, you're going on tour, and half the time playing is not the story. It's getting to the venue. Whereas, like, the focus on a major label band would be actually playing the show, you know?
Like, oh, we played Detroit, you know, this, that, and other thing.
Like, we suck. We showed up. And
it's like, but you won't believe what happened to us on the way here.
That's always how it goes. Like, the tour stories have nothing to do with the shows. Usually it goes, oh, yeah, the crowd was great there. But on the way there, and then for the next 20 minutes. You won't believe
the three accidents we saw and we caused, too.
Next thing you know, Timmy's getting head from the hooker in the back. I found a bottle of vodka, shoved it up her ass. You know, it just... And there's just ridiculous, like, stupid stories I've heard from people going on tour, and just things that, like, you couldn't, like, ever tell your mother.
And James walked into the barn drunk, and he helped a bear give birth to 2 cubs. Yeah. What? And you're like, what?
Stranger things have happened.
But there's always that, and also that, there's that underlining of that we can do this ourselves, too.
Like, you, yeah, kind of, that's like, commonly referred to as DIY, or something I believe in very, 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 like, much.
Can we do this ourselves, you know?
It's like, well, we need to get t-shirts printed, but it costs like $500 to send them out to the, you know, printer. Okay, well, give me a piece of cardboard and a can of spray paint. We got t-shirts in 15 minutes, fuck it. I'm dead serious, and that's what they used to do for, like, a lot of the older t-shirts. They would make a stencil out of a piece of cardboard, hold it up to a t-shirt, spray paint it black on the white t-shirt, and boom, you got yourself a shirt. Like, dead up. I mean, that's how they used to do shirts. Some bands still do that. They're not very popular, but some bands still do that.
And I'm sure they sell out all their freaking t-shirts, too.
Yeah. You sell them for like $2-3 a piece, fuck it. You know?
Yeah, fun. Again, it's just a sense of fun.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that money goes to, it doesn't go in anybody's pocket. It goes towards gas and food. That's it.
And maybe a motel room that they could take a shower before the show.
Not really. Shower? What's that? Oh, you mean that thing where you fill up a bucket and throw it on your head? But, yeah, it's... I mean, I don't know where else to go with it. I mean, punk is what it is. It's like... There's no definition for it. Like, it comes in so many forms. Like, whether you're rockabilly, whether you're chaos punk, whether you're political punk, peace punk, whatever you are, you know.
What hurts me is, again, it's like what you showed me in the reference to, like, Hot Topic, all the wannabes.
Oh, Jesus.
The store-bought, you know.
I mean, I thank Hot Topic in the Winchester Mall for promoting us. And there are some people that go in there that are just real nice and stuff. everybody finds themselves like falling into traps. Like, we live in a small town, so Hot Topic, you know, it's gonna come in and it's gonna be the only source for some people, where I can see why people go there, but damn them for exploiting those kids and damn them for exploiting like the scene.
Like, yeah, it's if gonna you, be the only places to get certain albums. Yeah. Like, you can't
like there's
Walmart
no
and get no effects.
There's no or record. Muse. There's no record store where I can go in town. Like, I mean, there is one independent record store, but everything you get, you have to order in because the guy doesn't know anything about it. And it's like, it's always inflated because he orders from the same place and refuses to order from any independents. He orders from the same place that Walmart gets their CDs and stuff from. So when you go through his distributor, you're paying $18 for a CD. It's not just gonna. It's just not gonna happen. I'm not gonna do it.
And that's, but if you go to Hot Topic, you get like Muse, you get NoFX, you get a lot of the punk bands.
You can find everything that like you want to find there, for cheap, for like, you know, like usually between $10 and $11. And that's the sad thing, because all Hot Topic really does is exploit the music, exploit like the scene and stuff like that. A lot of bands nowadays.
The downside is that the store is starting to look a little bit more yuppie scum.
Well, it is yuppie scum. Like, the kids that are into the scene now, a lot of them
are the wannabe yuppie scum that are.
They're wannabe punks. They're not. They came along late. Yeah, and I guess you could say this about any like new generation of kids. I mean, I'm not just gonna sit here and say, well, it didn't happen to me too, but like, it's all contrived. It's all store bought and it's all prepackaged. And you can tell the prepackaged kids when they walk in because they all look the same. And punk is about individualism, and I don't see a whole lot of individualism going on nowadays. Like, I used to get shit from the kids, and I'll say this as far back, you know, granted, like, punk has always been the traditional thing with, like, you know, spiky hair and fucking mohawks and stuff. Well, I'd walk in wearing, like a Washington Capitals, like, hockey shirt. And my hair just fucking long, and they would give me a bunch of shit. But yet, my, like, if you want to get down to brass tacks, my record collection could put theirs to shame. And like, 9 times out of 10, I was way more involved in the scene than they would ever be. But, you know, it's all based on appearances a lot of times, and that's what's sad. In closing, I just, like, you know, fucking support punk, support DIY culture, and support, like, you know, any local punk bands that you see, go out and see them. We're going to throw some shows eventually, and we'll have a good old time.
Good old time.
We got to cut it short, though.
Yeah, we got to.
We ran out of time.
Look at that. I'm sure we could go for a full hour on the
podcast.
Yeah.
If you got any questions.
We're looking at all of you. You can email us at eecf25428@comcast.net or
Electric Eye Podcast.
You forgot the dot.
Oh, electriceye.podcast@hotmail.com.
That's another thing, folks. If Big Candy, the V-camera, mispronounces any of the stuff,
take a drink.
Take two drinks because it's rarer.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Rarer.
Take a drink.
Take
folks.
A drink every time Chris says rarer.
Rarer.
Anyway.
Our MySpace page is MySpace/ The Electric Eye Podcast.
It is.
What?
Anyway. Go ahead. We're going to finish the show.
Wait. Got to wake it, the damn thing up.
He's trying to find it.
I'm not trying to find it. I have it all set up.
This did not work, but this, whatever. We'll get it.
It's.
Did you introduce the new format? No, you didn't.
What do you mean the new format?
Well, I'm saying eventually we will have one. Okay, we're trying to end the show, people.
That was the worst thing I ever heard. It was terrible.
Horrendous.
Well, it wasn't that bad.
Oh, yeah?
There were parts of it I liked.
Yeah, I liked a lot of it.
Yeah, it was good.
It was great.
It's wonderful.
Oh, bravo.
More.
All right, that's it.
I wanna destroy the possible.
I get the wrong time, stop a traffic line. Future dream is a sharp escape.